Hello, friends, here on A Heart Refined. Here we are on our very last week of James for You. I've just been so blessed by God's word, by what James had to say after he encountered the resurrected Christ. This is going to be a beautiful ending to such a beautiful study together. I'm going to do it a little different. Normally, I've been doing four different 10 to 12 minute segments. I'm going to go ahead and do just two, it'll be about 20 to 23 minutes each segments and wrap this up. And because it's just so good, I don't want to get choppy with it. I just want to flow straight through it. I believe that you're going to be blessed by this. You're going to be challenged. And so since we're here in this last week, the last chapter of both the book of James and the book James for You, let's start reading with the last words in this chapter. And these are verses, or it's actually chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Okay, so let's take that piece for piece. Let's double back. I'm going to go ahead again and read verses 13 through 15. And I've said this in weeks past. I know I just read these verses, but I'm going to read it again because we so easily forget what it says. And so it's important that we rehearse God's word. We preach it into ourselves so that we remember it. So here we go, 13 through 15. If anyone among you is suffering, he should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So in last week's episodes, I pressed really hard for us to define suffering, saying that it's not some of these super basic things we struggle with. But this week, I want to talk about suffering we don't understand, whether it be emotional, physical, or spiritual, or maybe it's more of like an obstacle, a stupid little super basic thing that just keeps tripping you up. And this is the thing that may bring you to your knees and that shows you that that thing is really not the problem at all. And you know what I'm talking about. We have all this stuff happening in our world, but we sort of seem like we persevere and power through, but then there's this little tiny thing that happens that trips us up big time. And for us, those people, you and me, those who are suffering or sick, we need to pray. We must pray. That's what this says. That's the only way to come up out of that. So as you know, this is written for the members of the church. So this doesn't mean that we go get in a line at a mega church expecting some random person to have the power of healing. It's very important that we recognize the difference between this is calling us to be a member of a church, to be a part of a fellowship and a growth with other people so that we can join together and pray over one another. The whole idea of the mega church getting in the line for healing those who maybe who have been, and I'm air quoting here, trained in how to heal you, that's not something that a person can do. Only God can give the gift of healing. And if we are able to lay our hands on someone and they become healed in that moment, it's not because we had a power or a gift. It's because in that moment, he saw fit to use us. So we give ourselves too much credit as people. So don't go get in the mega church line. This means to go and be a part of the bride of Christ. And in that community, prayer over you and your suffering and sickness is just more valuable. These people know who they're praying for. They know what they're praying for, and they know who they're praying to. So sometimes if one is not actively taking part in their own church and its function, there's sort of a defensive spirit that rises in us that tells us not to trust them with our info. We sort of hold back because either we are just so private that it's none of their business, or two, we're embarrassed and we don't want to give that. So we must call on the church. There are a lot of things we expect the church should just know, but this scripture is actually telling us that we should be calling on them. The onus is on us, of the member. The church is doing a lot of things to care for a lot of people. So it is your responsibility to stand up and say, it says so. It says he should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Okay, so the next question that comes off of that is, so what do you do? What if you do go? What if you say to them, please come, and the scripture says that you'll be healed, but does this automatically mean that you're going to be healed? No. And I think we need to learn why. And I sort of alluded to that there a second ago. If it's in God's timing, his will and his timing, they're both perfect. And if your healing does not line up with his plan, then we must rest in the fact that, or have faith that his ways are and his thoughts are higher than ours. And that's really a challenging thing for us, because it's just easier to believe that he's supposed to heal us. But that's really not what God's word says. He's moving us into a position to understand that above all, he is in control and he's going to care for you. Now, the healing may not be physical. It may be spiritual, and we'll go more into that. And second, there are several different commentaries on this passage, including the book that we're reading, James for You by Sam Alberry. But the one I feel drawn towards the most, I feel like that it matches the scriptures, actually, in the CSB study notes in the Bible. And it says that the words, he will be forgiven, indicates that perhaps the suffering or illness was connected with sin, and the prayers of the elders could bring spiritual healing as well as physical. Now, this is not always the case, the physical, but I think more often than not, or more often than we understand, that it is, that we experience these healings. And when I talk about spiritual healing, there's a lot of times that, and I talk about this constantly, so if you've heard me say this before, just hear it and believe it. I believe that a lot of times when there is spiritual healing, there are parts of our lives that we just get straightened out, and that actually brings physical healing. And so that's why a lot of times there is that, you see, when people start to get right with the Lord, there are things about their lives that turn around. We can't always say that's the case, though, because there are mysterious illnesses and there are things that God uses with wonderful people that we cannot understand. And so we can't tag it as though we know, but we can have faith that God is going to do the perfect thing no matter what we think. It says in there to bring the oil, but we need to realize two things, that the oil is not magic, neither is the prayer. And I'm going back to the same thing I was saying a second ago. No one can guarantee healing coming from themselves, whether you have oil or not. However, prayer takes us into the throne room on behalf of another, and that access will give us pause, or it should give us pause, to consider in reverence that God will respond in accordance with his glorious purpose. You hear that? You have access to the throne room, and God, taking your prayer, receiving that prayer, will respond in accordance with his glorious purpose. And what that means at the same time is that your heart is going to be further trained in faith in saying to him, truly, thy will be done. Lord, this is the way that I would love for this to happen. Lord, will you please bring full healing and full understanding of why we just went through what we did? But if not, God, I want to pray with all my heart, thy will be done. And when we get into that position of praying that way and understanding that he is in full control and that he's not confused and he's not necessarily punishing you with a sickness, there can be consequences of sickness. But that, again, not always the case. But when we pray with that in accordance with his glorious purpose, then we have peace. And y'all, if you think about it this way, having peace in the Lord in and of itself is healing, right? I mean, don't you feel yourself when you experience peace in the Lord, there's a calming in your spirit and you actually, on a cellular level, begin to experience freedom in your body, a relaxation in your body. There's actually articles that show, and I've talked about this recently, that forgiveness will actually heal you on a molecular level. So your cells, your molecules, everything in your body responds to you, to the characteristics of Christ, which are forgiveness, peace, love, joy, all of those things. And so dwell on that and let your heart be blessed by that. Now, let's jump back to these seven little words that seem slightly out of place in between suffering and sickness. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Okay, so like I say, that seems slightly out of place because when you're struggling, do you necessarily want to be cheerful? So why is this here? Why did James put this here? Does this mean that because you know Jesus, you are to always be chipper? Well, cheerful does not mean chipper. No, it does mean, though, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And because of that, you are able to worship. That makes me think of Psalm 63. And it's verses 3-5. It says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I cannot help but think of my mama in her very last days. And she had trained her heart to sing. And she was there and only maybe probably a week from passing away. And I was helping clean her up and bathe her for the day. And I pulled her with both of her arms up close to me so that we could change her gown. And she started singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. And I just think of her precious face as she sang that. And there's other songs that she sang to me in those days. And I recognize that she wasn't chipper. She was in horrendous pain. But her heart was cheerful because it was vested in the goodness of God, in his faithfulness. And so she could only worship in that moment. So there you go. That's what that means. And if there are those of you who are just, you're basically in a cheerful spot and there's somebody around you who's struggling, go and share that cheer with them. Now, don't be annoying and shove it in their face, but definitely share that cheer and share that worship with them, because it may not, even in that moment, it may not register with them, but there will be a moment when they come out of the fog and they can look back and tell who shared with them that cheer. I can tell you, and there's been so many places in my life where I've been struggling and someone has sent me a verse or a song, and I can tell to this day, I can tell you who sent it, when they sent it, where I was when I got it, because the Lord spoke through that cheerfulness that they had in the Lord that I was struggling to find. So there you go. That's important to do. Okay, so we can say amen about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. We profess this as Christians, but oftentimes you would not know that to be the truth by the way that we act. We are sullen, we are ill-tempered, we're pitiful, we're whiny. And we just walk around as though this world was made for us. Like everything surrounds us and we forget that we are here for a purpose. And the thing that's happening to us, while it is a natural reflex to move into these sullen places when we're struggling, we have to fight that. Take that captive and make it obedient quickly, like my mama did. I mean, it's a perfect example. I mean, goodness gracious, she could have been complaining in that moment, but she chose to worship. And so it's not a matter of that you finally get the situation all right so that you no longer have to be sullen or whatever. No, it's choosing to be cheerful over sullen. And that's a hard thing for us to do. So what does James 5 and Psalm 63 mean then? It means that our triune God is in full control and at the same time is completely trustworthy. It means that he is altogether lovely. And that puts us in a position where we can be in complete peace. Now I'm going to go ahead and read verses 16 through 18. And then I'm going to go ahead and break it there. I said we'd be about at 20 or 25 minutes, but I'm flying through this. And so it's going to cut it down just a little bit. But I'm going to read these to get us prepped for the next. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Man, that's exciting, because if we were to pray as Elijah prayed, and that's based on God's perfect will and timing, then we may see more answers to prayer. If we quit our little wish list praying and stop moving just based on our desires and totally on the heart of God, then we could see some miraculous works happen as we've long professed that we would love to see. Okay, I'm going to wrap it right there. And thanks, friends. All right, I'll finish up our very last episode of James for You here on A Heart Refined.